Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with a company introduction, or I guess more of an update, from Arcana Silver Corporation. Trade on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol AUN and on the OTCQX under the symbol AUNFF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Kevin Drover. Now, Kevin, we're going to start off by focusing on the company's, I guess, main focus right now, especially in the near term. That is the Revenue Virginia's property in Colorado. Now, this project is moving towards production, potentially by summer of this year. Give us some insights then on how this project is progressing towards production, please.
Well, I can certainly do that, Corey. And by the way, thanks for having me on. The Revenue Virginia's mine, it's located not far from Ouray, Colorado, which is a bit of a destination, about a 7-hour drive southwest of Denver, or a half-hour plane ride. It's a primary silver mine. It's a previously operated brownfields, fully permitted, mill on site, mill built in 2014, I believe it was. And we've right now got about 130 people working on site, and we're moving toward production in the third quarter of this year. We're looking at putting first test ore through the mill in late July, hoping to be making concentrate in August and cash flow positive in September of this year.
So, Kevin, give us a little background on what you're expecting in terms of production metrics here, because the company did release a feasibility study back in June of 2018, but I understand internally through the company you've done some tweaks to the overall mine plan and overall economics here. What are you expecting in terms of the economics?
Well, we're looking right now. The not much really changed with the internal update. We didn't publish that. What did change, the capital costs went down a little bit, the operating costs went up a little bit, and it was all labor in terms of the operating cost. The labor rates we used in 2018 were a little bit lower than we actually saw. We're still looking at about an average of 3.1 million ounces a year for the first 5 years. The feasibility study was done at $1,850. If you run the numbers at today's prices at $25, $27, you're looking at now instead of kind of a $30 to $32 million in the first few years of operation of after tax free cash flow, you're now over $60 million. So from a production standpoint, we're looking at pulling grade forward in the first few years. So we're going after the higher grade material. We do have a little bit of debt that we're going to want to pay off, and we think we'll be able to do that rather expeditiously given current prices and our production profile. The second thing probably worthy of mentioning is the feasibility was done on the basis of 270 tons a day. We have a mill that's got a capability of in excess of 500 tons a day. So we're going to be able to organically grow our cash flow here pretty quick, we think. We want to start up at the 270 a day. We want to get our productivity settled. We want to get our metallurgy and our cost profiles to where we think they should be. And ultimately, we want to bring on some additional stopes and get that tonnage up first from the 270 to the 400 and then bump it up to 500 beyond there. So we're looking at, after the first year of production, we're looking at getting ourselves up towards that 6.5 million ounces a year range.
So at the current 270 then tons per day that it sounds like you're at least starting out with, what does that yield in terms of ounces per year?
That yields in excess of 3 million ounces a year.
Now, in terms of cost to get this to operations or to actually production, you're obviously gone through a lot of the steps, but how much more money do you expect needs to be spent before you get into some sort of cash flow?
Right now, we've got about $50 million in the bank. We're going to probably, from this point on, we're looking at $23 to $25 million left to spend. So, we're sitting in pretty good shape right now, assuming, we don't get hard hit or anything by COVID or any of those kinds of things. The winter is almost over. So that winter challenge that sometimes can affect schedule and whatnot, that is getting behind us rather rapidly right now. So we're in really good shape to get ourselves in production, you know, in, like I said, in the third quarter.
So in terms of any challenges that investors might need to be aware of when it comes to getting this into full-scale production, what do investors need to be aware of?
Well, right now, you know, typically we've got a lot behind us. You know, we've got our workforces here. We've been able to hire our miners that we need, our skilled miners. We've got our technical team in place. So that issue of trying to be able to find those quality people, we've got it done. We've got all of our equipment is either on site or in transit towards site. So we've got, you know, that cost overruns kind of thing are behind us. The only real thing now that, you know, I lose sleep over at night that can really affect us in getting to production is really a COVID outbreak. And, you know, with the advent now of the vaccines, you know, that's becoming less and less. For instance, I got immunized here a week ago. So in this part of the world where we are, it's immunization is going quite well. So really, I don't see much now that's a really big risk here. We're executing on the plan. We've got the people in place. We've got the money. So, you know, we're in pretty good shape.
So in terms of cash flow, then, what are the expectations for cash flow, let's say, around current metals prices when you are in production for the first year or two?
We're going to be in excess of $60 million a year
after tax
cash flow.
Okay. What mine life does the project currently have on it?
Currently, the mine life has approximately 7 years. We believe that we will be able to add an additional 2 years to that seven, even before we get into production. As we're going to start mining high up in our system. There's a block of inferred that's in between a measured resource and a measured resource that's up above. And in order to get to the top area that we want to mine, we have to go through this inferred block. Now, the only reason it's inferred is because we could not drill it from surface, so we couldn't get a hole in it, and consequently, we couldn't put it in the mine plan, you know, being a feasibility study that we were doing. But we believe that we're going to add a couple of years as we actually mine the area that we're targeting right now. So we're looking at pretty close, you know, 8 to 9 years here very, very quickly. We're looking at keeping at, you know, the 8 to 10 years of reserves in front of us. So as we mine, we will keep replacing those reserves. We have a large land package that will allow us to do that. We have 9 veins on our property. All of those veins have been in production at one point of time in the past and have been producers. The Virginia's vein that we're focused on right now is 16,000 feet that we own. All of our current resources and reserves are on only 4,000 feet of that 16,000 feet. So we're open to the south and we're open to the north. And, you know, we're going to be targeting going north and drifting on that vein to add you know, the next 10 and 20 years beyond where we are right now.
So is a strategy to use cash flow from operations to fund that exploration to just continue to extend the mine life?
Absolutely. That's what we'll be doing. And, you know, I think we won't have any difficulty doing that.
Okay. Well, a lot of exploration opportunities too, but first things first, obviously get into production and then also expand the capacity of production. How does that expanded capacity tinker with the mine life then, and also your strategy of adding ounces through exploration?
Yeah, well, you know, that's an interesting thing about this mine itself. The feasibility study was designed at 270 tons a day. The mill is designed at in excess of 500 tons a day. So we have opportunity to be able to fill that mill up. Now, of course, if we double our mining and milling rate, then we, you know, we half our mine life. But because we have so much exploration potential to the north on the Virginia's vein and to the south on the Virginia's vein, as well as, you know, other veins like the Wheel of Fortune, the Yellow Rose, the Terrible Vein, the Atlas Cumberland, our main tunnel cuts all of these. as we get to the Virginius vein. So we have we literally have access to all of these different veins. And in fact, we're doing some exploration now on the Wheel of Fortune vein. So we feel that, you know, we're certainly going to be able to bring that tonnage from that 270 up to the 400 and possibly the 500. We will have to, you know, get cracking on our exploration to fill that void. But nonetheless, we believe that we're going to be able to do that. And certainly we're looking at the second year of operation. Once we're in operation in 2021, sometime in 2022, we're looking at starting bringing the tonnage up to that 400, 500 ton range.
Okay. So expansion potential in terms of the development or in terms of production, and also this exploration potential that sounds like you are already looking at and, well, exploring.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jordan.
Okay. Let's move over to the Shafter project here. This project also was in production, but I understand it's more on care and maintenance right now. What news could investors expect out of Shafter?
Well, you know, Shafter is a mine in the making again. We did a PEA on that in 2018, and the PEA showed that, you know, we break even was about $16 an ounce. But given where we are today at $27 or $25 or anything north of 20, I guess, you know, you would start to look at this as a mine again. So we have been doing a bit of work. We've had our technical guys looking at this. We've been, you know, going over and taking another good hard look at the information that we've got. We do believe that we'll need to do some additional infill drilling. We'll want to do a feasibility study on this, but it looks from where we sit right now that, you know, we're 18 to 24 months out from pulling the trigger on putting Shafter back to production. But it's certainly looking like it's a 2 to 2.5 million ounce producer, probably in the range of a 7-8 year mine life. And as soon as we don't want to lose focus on the Revenue Virginius mine right now. But as soon as we get the Revenue Virginius mine into production, we'll be looking at Shafter project in a very diligent manner.
So are there any significant costs associated with Shafter, even as it is on care and maintenance here?
No, Shafter costs us about $400,000 a year to maintain. It is fully permitted, of course. It does have a 1,500 ton a day mill in place. It's pretty much pure silver. There's not much byproducts, a small bit of gold, but very, very small. But, you know, it's in a good location. The state of Texas is a great place to do business. If you're a mining guy, we're about the only mine in Texas. I'm certainly the only hard rock mine. So, you know, we're looking forward to being able to get focused on Shafter a little bit and see if we can get that back into production. But, you know, you look at Shafter at 2 to 2.5 million, you look at Revenue Virginia, say 6.5 million. Boy, we're knocking on, 8 to 9 million ounces in a couple of years.
Yeah, very interesting that move towards and into production. And first and foremost, let's see that cash flow coming out of Revenue Virginia's. Couple more company fundamentals here. Share structure, about 278 million shares outstanding. Fully diluted basis, about 394 million. Let's talk about the warrants then. About 118 million warrants outstanding. What insights can you give us in terms of strike price and still terms, years available on those?
Yeah, well, all of those are, I would think 16 months would be the shortest, all the way up to the most recent ones, which are still good for 3 years. About 34 million of them are at $1.25 strike, 42 million at 75 cent strike, and 42 million at 37 and a half cents. So there's a good chunk of them already in the money. Sort of coming in and dribs and drabs a little bit, not a concerted effort to bring the money in the door with those, and there's no acceleration clause or anything in any of those warrants, so it's at the at the will of the owner how they come in.
So in terms of cash in the bank too, you already mentioned about 50 million in the bank. That means that you are essentially fully funded through production and silver pour.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the reasons when we had the opportunity to raise some equity there in February, The offer out there was quite good. There was a lot of interest in the equity offering that we did. So we decided to take a little bit more money maybe than we actually needed for a couple of reasons. One is, if COVID did hit us, the biggest single concern we had was with schedule. And if you lose schedule, that's where the money really starts to rack up. So we said, okay, let's take a big extra. If we're lucky, we won't get hit and we won't have to spend it, but I'm sure we'll find a good use for it. The other thing was there are a couple of properties in and around the Revenue Virginia's mine that makes some sense for us to try and do a deal with those. So we were looking at possibly doing some acquisition of these properties that are around us. And thirdly, the exploration aspect of the Revenue Virginia's area itself that we wanted to focus on, like the Wheel of Fortune. We're doing a bit of work on that, those kinds of things. So the money was there. We took some extra money, and I think we're in good shape at the moment. The last thing that I ever want to have happen, and it's happened before to lots of juniors, is that just as you're starting up, you run out of money and you have to go back to the market. And boy, that's the gotcha moment there. So we don't want to have to do that. And luckily, we won't have to.
Yeah, I don't blame you for raising that extra money. It does remove that financing risk. And quite frankly, we have been in a time, we still arguably are in a time where money is available. But if that dries up, you do not want to be stuck as any sort of resource company without cash in the bank. Let's wrap it up then quickly here, Kevin, with expected news flow. Obviously, the move is targeting production in summer, but what can investors and those watching the company look for as we progress into that whole production first pour?
Well, you can look, and our investors can look to, we're going to keep them up to date on our progress getting into production. You know, we'll get a press release at least a month out and letting people know how we're progressing underground. The biggest single catalyst, I think, for our share price will be getting ourselves into production in that third quarter. Meanwhile, we will be progressing Shafter. We're going to accelerate that a little bit. We do have some technical guys that we can assign there. So we're doing some work on that, and there may be a little bit of news. The other thing, of course, is as we develop the underground, the 1500 level, 1800 level that's currently not in the mine plan, we hope that we'll be able to demonstrate to the market that that we're going to add those couple of extra years. We'll be putting some assays out as we develop on those particular veins. So between now and when we push the button on the mill kind of thing, hopefully there'll be some good news flow and some very positive news coming out. But primary target is getting ourselves to production. We are not going to lose focus on that. So we're looking at third quarter.
All right. And hey, that is very near term. So production and cash flow, and then still all this exploration potential. Kevin, we're going to wrap it up here. But if anybody has any follow-up questions for Kevin regarding anything over at Arcana Silver, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and we will follow up with Kevin to get those answered. Kevin, I appreciate your time today. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
And thank you, Corey. I very much appreciate it.